Construction Industry Podcast, Episode 3.
Welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. Fresh ideas for today's construction professional. The Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech, remote monitoring technologies. Find us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com.
Hello once again and welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. My name is Cesar Abaid and it is great to have you with me. Today we will talk about how a bad economy can be a great opportunity for your business and your career. We will also have an interview with Deborah Murphy on universal design, and on our tech tip, we'll bring you the advantages of web-based tools. I hope you enjoy it. It's no secret that the construction industry in North America and other parts of the world is taking a hit as the economy continues to stumble. We here at Remontech find that unless we have an edge or you stand out from the crowd, it's very difficult to continue to succeed in the sector. So we are always trying to find new ways to think differently and stay ahead of the game. So when trends and fads become the norm, we'll be ready. It is that mentality that drives us to try and innovate all the time. Besides monitoring construction projects as a project management tool, we've created new services over the years, such as our dynamic scheduling for construction projects, remote security services, and our mobile monitoring stations. For us, those are great at diversifying what we do and providing something our potential competitors were not. So you can learn more about all that we do by visiting myconstructioncamera.com. Again, myconstructioncamera.com. Now, one of the things I want to do with this podcast is to bring ideas to your business and to you as a professional to help you stand out and have an edge over your competition. On our first episode, we spoke about social media for the construction industry, and that was our first time bringing you some fresh ideas on how to help make sure that you're riding the wave of change instead of being crushed by it. It may seem counterintuitive, but a struggling economy can be an excellent opportunity for businesses and careers. I've heard before that people will buy only to solve a problem or fulfill a need. And I'll make a point that there's no better time for finding needs to be fulfilled and problems to be solved than during economic turmoil. Companies like HP, Hyatt Hotels, Burger King, IHOP, FedEx, CNN, Google, and PayPal, they all started and thrived when the economy was struggling. Here in the Construction Industry Podcast, we'll bring you ideas on how to fulfill needs and solve problems in the construction sector that other people might be overlooking. And we'll also give you tips on how to do it effectively and on a budget. With that in mind, today we'll be interviewing Deborah Murphy on the topic of universal design. And on our tech tip, Alda Andrea from ServiceTask.com will talk to me about web-based tools. Enjoy the podcast. Deborah A. Murphy, owner of Adaptability, Deborah A. Murphy, Inc., ADAMI, has an AAS degree in both interior design and construction management and graduated cum laude from both institutions. Adaptability specializes in both disciplines, that is, interior design and construction management, using universal interior design practices. Her firm also promotes energy efficiency as well as green design and is based in the suburbs of Chicago. She has over 25 years in the construction industry and has worked for developers, national retailers, general contractors, and design builders across the country from Florida to California. This is her company's mission statement: to provide well-designed and constructed housing for the disabled and senior communities in order to foster independence for everyone. Deborah spoke to me from her home in the suburbs of Chicago. Enjoy the interview.
And now, our feature segment.
Hello, Deborah. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you.
You know, you're in Chicago. I lived there for 4 years, and I absolutely love that place.
It's a wonderful town. I've lived on both coasts, in Miami and in San Francisco, and I always told everybody I was going home, and that's what Chicago always will be. And I'm proud of this. We have the best skyline because this is where the skyscraper started. So,
Back to that same old place.
Exactly. Sweet home Chicago.
That's right. Yeah, it's gorgeous there. Just wish the winters weren't as bad. And
yeah, well, this summer's pretty hot. I feel like I'm back in Miami. We've had a lot of steamy days. In fact, I just heard on the radio that July has been the hottest July on record. So we've been, it's been a little steamy. Steamier here than we would like, but that's okay. And I keep telling everybody in 6 months we'll be complaining about the freezing weather, so...
Yeah, it's the one topic that we can all relate to. And it's
exactly,
and we're never happy. You know, it's either too cold or too hot. I'm here in Canada, and we're just as hot as you are in Chicago, and it's just impossible.
It's amazing, isn't it, to think that, you know, in an area that everybody thinks of as more snow than anything else, you're with 95 degrees and as high humidity. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how people can say there's no global warming, but anyway.
Yeah, well, luckily we have very cold winters, and that on average we're fine, I guess. It's just having one hand on the boiling water and the other hand in the bucket of ice, and you know, on average you're good.
We'll just all have to move to San Diego.
Oh yeah, that's a lovely place there. I've been there once, and I was like, oh wow, that's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. It was very nice. I've been there once, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're talking today about universal design, right? And you're very much involved with it, so I'd like to start from scratch. And can you tell us what it is? What is universal design?
Well, the basic definition of universal design is it's the design of products, environments to be used by all people to the greatest extent possible without the need for adaptation or specialized design. For example, it fits people that are 3 to 83 years old, 4'8" to 6'8" tall, or people that are mobile as well as those who lack mobility. So it's designing for everybody and anybody, and I think that's what the beauty is of universal design, and that's why I promote it.
I see. Is this, well, obviously it's universal, it's in the name, but who needs it? Is this something that everybody can benefit from, or there's a special niche there in the market? Who needs universal design?
Well, I really think that everybody needs universal design because it's really designed for all of us. It's not designed specifically for anyone in particular, although I think people that probably have a little bit less mobility might benefit more from it. But you also have to stop and think, like, for example, some of the features in a design that features universal features, would be your route of travel. You'd have a stepless entrance, and you'd have a roof over that entrance. You'd make sure that your door was at least 3 foot or at the minimum 2'10", and that you would make sure that you'd have a 3'6" minimum hallway. You'd have your key function areas on one level. Now, the reason that the stepless entrance is great is because, let's say you're a woman with a child, and you're using a stroller, and you're carrying groceries, and it's going to be easier for you to just roll right from the garage with that stroller up to your front door and come in that way, or even coming in from the garage, or somebody using a walker or somebody using a wheelchair. So it benefits everybody because you're not having to step up. You can just walk from the front sidewalk right into the house.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. It's, you know, my wife is an occupational therapist, and one of the things she does is to go into people's homes and assess them for accessibility, you know, after they've been in car crashes. Right. And 9 times out of 10, there's some remodeling involved to accommodate. So I guess what you're saying is there's a benefit to start from the beginning with the universal design. Because it just benefits
absolutely.
Everybody.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, universal design should be thought about at the very beginning of the design phase of a project in order to more easily incorporate it into the construction. It's my belief that in the not too distant future, universal design will automatically be used because it just makes more sense to use universal design in whatever it is that you're doing, whether it be commercial or residential projects, although a lot of the commercial projects are already mandated regarding the ADA, American with Disabilities Act. And it also is mandated for a percentage of any multi-family unit housing projects as well.
Okay. So, as far as adoption in the construction sector, where is it being used right now?
Well, I would say that there are people that are incorporating this into their houses. There are a few places that are incorporating universal design into their multifamily housing projects. I get quite a few trade magazines, and it's always interesting to me to look through there to see where people are doing this. And it's cropping up little by little here, there, and everywhere across the United States. It's actually being accepted in other countries as well. I think people are just starting to realize that with our aging population, it just makes sense to basically plan for the future, but also be able to do something that everybody can use right now. You know, you don't have to be someone who has got a physical disability in order to appreciate the aspects of universal design. You know, you want to have more usable kitchen and bathroom configurations and easier to use controls and hardware in reachable locations. So it just makes sense to think more about the functionality of everything in your house and what makes more sense. Let's raise up the dishwasher. Let's bring down the microwave oven. Let's put the controls in the front where people can easily reach them. Some of these things just are common sense things to me.
And I never thought about it, but why? It's true. Why do we always have to bend down to do the dishes?
Exactly.
It's just how it is. We just go with it, right?
That. You know, you don't. You know, and you want to, save your back as much as possible. So you're going to want to have those pull-out drawers. And stop and think about how many times your children want to help you doing chores or how many times you want to have, maybe grandma is doing something with their grandchild. And so grandma might want to sit at the sink and, peel the potatoes for potato salad. And, you know, you can have your grandchild standing there helping you while, you know, grandma's sitting and you have your armoire-style doors underneath your sink that can get pushed back so that someone can actually pull a stool up to the sink and do something as simple as preparing a meal, you know. People don't really stop and think about these things.
Right. So I'm very sure that this is going to become more and more mainstream. Now, is there a regulatory body that creates standards for universal design?
Right now there is nothing that is mandated regarding universal design. I think it's more of an idea that is becoming more prevalent. And now I don't know that it's not going to be mandated somewhere down the road. It just would make sense to me that it would be just easier for everybody if we started doing some of these things automatically, and then everybody would have the visibility aspect of coming to your house to see you, whether it's somebody that's got two children in a stroller, or it's grandma that's, you know, unfortunately has to use a walker now because she's not, you know, able to get around as easily.
I see. So if, let's say, there's a new building being designed, and mm-hmm. one of the requirements that the project sponsor has is that universal design principles are used. If you're the company involved with the design of this project, where would you go to make sure that you are in compliance with universal design?
Well, there's actually a Universal Design Institute. It's located in North Carolina, and they have a wonderful website that everybody can go to, and it's www.UDInstitute.org. There are also several books that I have that I think are very good books that focus on accessibility, which is a big part of what universal design is. One of them is Accessible Housing Design by Stephen Winter Associates. And another one is called A Building for a Lifetime by Wilde, W-Y-L-D-E, Baron-Robin, and Clark. And both of these have a lot of information, as well as Universal Design Institute, on different layouts of kitchens and bathrooms, since those seem to be the areas where you're going to probably see more universal design than not. A couple of real easy things as far as universal design goes is using lever handles on your doors, that if somebody's, you know, maybe got something in their hands, or they can't use their hands that well, they can still open the door. Automatic faucets are becoming more normal in regular residential housing projects, as opposed to just having them in commercial projects. Mm-hmm. And those are really great. Having flooring that is no higher than a half inch. Just similar things like this, and a lot of these features are shown in these books and on the website.
Okay. And just so the listeners know, we will have links to the websites and the books that Deborah just mentioned, as well as all the great suggestions that she has for universal design on the show notes. So you just go to constructionindustrypodcast.com and you look for the show notes on this episode, and all these links will be there. So if somebody wants to learn more about universal design and about what you do and your organization, where should they go?
Okay, well, my website is www.admionline.com.
So www.admionline.com. Okay.
Yes, and that stands for Adaptability, Deborah A. Murphy, Inc. Mm-hmm. focusing on universal design. And I'm also doing work for a not-for-profit organization called SHE, Inc., which stands for Shelters for a Healthy Environment. And that was started to develop affordable, accessible housing, and I'm going to be adding universal design, of course, to the designs going forward, along with including green design and energy efficiency. And this organization was started to focus on people with special needs, and SHE, Inc. Can be found at www.sheinc.org.
Okay. We'll have those on the show notes as well. Okay. Well, Deborah, this was a delight. I'm sure this is something that our audience will enjoy learning about more about, and the resources that you gave us are really great. I checked out some of them, and there is really good information there, and I recommend everybody follow those links that you'll find on the show notes. And thank you again for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you giving the opportunity to let more people know about universal design. I think it's what everybody should be using as far as their construction is concerned, and hopefully we can get a few more people saying, aha, I want that.
Yeah, and the reason, one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you is I think that this is a trend that's just going to keep growing, and if people start adopting it, even before there's an acceptable standard or mandate, I think they'll be ahead of the curve, and they'll have that competitive edge in this market today that's really competitive. So I think universal design is a great thing for you to have on your another arrow in your quiver.
And another arrow in my quiver, yes. I have a lot of arrows in my quiver. I've got a background in construction management as well as a degree in that and universal design. I'm sorry, and an interior design. And I have been following universal design probably since the mid-90s. And I feel that it's going to start breaking through here real soon. And I think it's something that people should just start asking for. And contractors and designers should just start doing it, realizing that it's good design.
I couldn't agree more. Thanks again, Deborah. And
okay, thank you, Caesar.
Stay in touch, okay?
All right, thank you. Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that interview. After my conversation with Deborah, she asked me to share two other books with you on the topic of universal design, and they are Universal Design Ideas for Style, Comfort, and Safety by R.S. Means. And R.S. Means is a firm that provides cost information to the construction industry, so you might be aware of them. And the second book is The Accessible Housing Design File, Barrier-Free Environments by Ron L. Mace, who actually was the person who coined the phrase universal design and was instrumental in beginning and starting the Universal Design Institute. You can find links to these and other resources on the show notes. To find the show notes, you can visit constructionindustrypodcast.com and look for episode 003 of the Construction Industry Podcast. Now, I'd like to talk to you on about our new segment called Tech Tip. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I wanted to share with you ways to conduct our professional life and our businesses more effectively, and technology can play a huge role in that. A contact on LinkedIn suggested we should have a tech tip segment in which we share technology ideas with the listeners, and I thought that was a great idea. So in our first tech tip segment, we will talk to Alda Andrea of ServiceTask.com on the topic of web-based tools. Al is the co-founder of ServiceTask.com, a web-based scheduling and service management tool for small service businesses. After graduating college, he worked for a regional real estate development firm where he was involved in all phases of development. From there, he helped run his family service business And that is when he discovered his true passion, helping other small service businesses succeed through technology. It all started when he began searching endlessly for simple web-based applications to better manage his business. After trying several different applications, he realized that there was none. He's now dedicating his time and energy to bringing a suite of web-based products to small service-based businesses. Service Task is the first product of many and is expected to launch this October. So here's our first tech tip, web-based tools. Hello, Al, how are you?
Good, Caesar, thank you. How are you?
So we're here today to talk about web-based software, correct?
Correct.
What is it?
All right, so you know, in simple terms, web-based software is software you use over the internet, you know, with a web browser, so you don't have to install any CDs, download any software, worry about upgrades, you know, like you did with traditional software. You know, and most people, if they've never heard of the term or aren't familiar with the term, they may not realize it, but they're probably already using web-based software. If anybody who does online banking, maybe has a Gmail account or a Yahoo Mail account, is already using web-based software, so they're already familiar, you know, with the way it works. So, mm-hmm. You know, I guess that's pretty much in, you know, I guess simple terms, you know, what it is.
Yeah, I certainly see more and more web-based applications everywhere in all aspects. Like Gmail is a good example; I use it all the time. Now, why is it better for businesses and in particular for the construction and field services industry?
Sure. You know, there's so many benefits to it, and I'll try to keep it short and straight to the point. You know, using web-based software takes away, you know, worrying about technical side of your business. So, you know, when you're using web-based software, it's more, you know, up to the application, the company, to worry about all the security, the backups, all the different upgrades. So it really allows the business owner to focus on what really matters, and you know, improving their business, using web-based tools to become more efficient and streamline their operations. You know, and in particular, you know, the construction industry, you know, they can benefit from web-based tools, you know, almost more than any other industry, because they have field technicians that are actually out of the office, and what web-based tools allow them to do is to connect better with, you know, the back end of the office. So really what this is doing, it's streamlining the business. You know, it's improving efficiencies and productivity, and it's, you know, now it's putting more information in the field, you know, construction or whatever it may be, more information in their hands than they ever had before. So it's really you know, streamlining things in that way.
Right, right. Now, is it safe?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you have to look into what you're using, but, you know, with traditional software, people are saving all of their data on, you know, on their laptops, on USB drives, portable hard drives. You know, they think that's safe, but it's really not that safe, right? I mean, your computer can get stolen, there could be a fire. You know, whatever may happen, and you would lose all that information. Or if you don't back up properly, a lot of people pay for an automated backup service. If that's not working properly, then you lost all your information. So web-based software, your data, you know, if obviously it's a reliable source, your data is always stored, you know, on secure, updated, you know, backed up daily enterprise-class servers. You know, and usually a very state-of-the-art data center.
Right.
So, you know, obviously when you're unfamiliar with it, it appears to be unsafe, but more and more, as we can see, especially with banks, are, you know, moving over into that.
That's right. Now, it seems like it creates some sort of like a string attachment to the software provider there, because you, depending on them. Now, how does pricing compared to that of traditional desktop software?
Yeah, I think this is really the most exciting part, really, when I started, really implementing web-based software into my service company a few years back, this is what really struck me as I saw the change. I seen, wow, this is big, because I can remember the first software program I bought, I had to pay several $1,000s up front. With web, and now once you buy it, it's yours. So it's a big commitment, and oftentimes people will make this investment and it turns out to be that they either one can't implement it, or if they do, it doesn't turn out to be exactly what they need. So with web-based software, it's more like, typically, it's called software as a service. So, if, by the way, many of them are free applications, but if it is a paid software application, you actually typically don't have to pay any money up front, and if you do, it's a very little amount, and you pay as you go. So it's a monthly-based subscription model, and you pay monthly, and guess what? If it doesn't turn out to be a useful tool for your business, you just stop using it. And there's usually no penalties, of course, unless you pay up front for the year. But if you're paying monthly, you use it as you go along, as you need it. So that's really attractive to the business owner. And it keeps the web application, it keeps them honest, because if you're not happy, you're going to stop using it. So they want you to continually be happy, so you stay as a paying customer.
That's right. I use a web-based application for mind mapping,
okay,
called MindMeister, and it's a very low monthly fee, and I think it's great, because whenever they do upgrades, I don't even know about it. It's just automatic, and it works fine, and I access it from anywhere, from my iPhone, from home, from the office, and
right.
It's just that looks like that's the way things are going.
Oh yeah, full blown. That's where everything's heading.
Now, back to the construction sector, right? What are some good web-based applications available right now to the construction and field service industry?
There are so many. I want to keep this, like I said, to the point. I think staying basic, there's tools out there that people aren't realizing the capabilities of them. For example, Google Docs is obviously a free web-based tool.
Oh, yeah.
And people can upload documents. They can all kinds of collaboration features Google Docs has, for teams to share information real-time from anywhere with an internet connection. I think Google Docs alone is one tool that, people could use to definitely streamline operations for free, unless I think, if you're using the enterprise version of Google Business Apps, and you might have to pay a little bit, but Google Docs is very, very effective web-based tool for free. More specifically, there's one that I was just reading about that came out called Mozio, and it's okay. Actually, have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, rings a bell.
Okay. What they are, they're like a, they actually provide a text messaging, a web-based, I guess it's, like a mobile messaging software, specifically for the mobile workforce. So what this service allows companies to communicate with their workers via two-way text messaging from their computers, saving time, saving money by making phone calls. I guess this tool, from what I understand, it's designed for companies with as few as 5 employees all the way up to 500. But it is directly targeted towards the construction industry and for use, for contractors working away from the office.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're telling me that, and the gears are turning in my head, thinking of all the possibilities of how this could be used.
Right.
Everyone's got a BlackBerry or an iPhone, and in projects, they say 90% of project management is communication. And when you have multiple job sites, and if you have that centralized, so you can communicate with all your trades and all the people involved from your desktop or from your BlackBerry, that's just really powerful.
Very powerful. It definitely adds capabilities. You can manage more employees in a wider variety of roles. Subcontractors, drivers, whatever it may be. And it just, improves communication, helps things move, smoothly. So,
Okay. Now, the link to that specific tool will be available in the show notes. Now, Al, if we want to learn more about what you do and your company, where should we go?
You know, right now, the name of the, you know, the current application right now that we're working on is called Service Task. You know, the website is servicetask.com. Currently, we are still building. We're anticipating launching the tool in, you know, late September, early October. So, you know, as of right now, you can go to servicetask.com and you can sign up for early access. So what we'll do is, you know, we'll allow, you know, users to get into the application and, you know, test it out for free and definitely welcome feedback and, you know, even allow them to have a say in some of the future features of Service Task. You know, really quick, you know, Service Task is, we're really targeting small service-based businesses. So that could really be any type of field service business, construction, property management, you know, electrical, whatever it may be, a wide variety of industries that, you know, needs to schedule jobs, you know, with employees out in the field. So, you know, it's really an integrated app. You can, it's a CRM. You can fully manage your customer base, schedule jobs, and at the same time invoice them. So it ties everything together nicely. It's a real simple, you know, easy to use application, fully web based.
Yeah, I was
going to. You know, and it's really, we're excited because, like I said, we're targeting the smaller business that, you know, traditionally had to spend a lot of money, which smaller businesses don't have a lot of money to spend on technology, and it's going to allow them to have a powerful tool to you know, streamline things. So, but yeah, servicetask.com, sign up for early access, and, you know, be the first to test it out.
I will do that right now. Thanks again, Al, for being on the show. And can I count on you again for a future episode?
Absolutely, Cesar. I love it.
Fantastic. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
So there you have it, everyone. This has been the third episode of the Construction Industry Podcast, and I hope the links and resources we shared with you today will be useful as you continue to navigate the waters of the construction industry. I would be delighted to hear from you. You can write me at feedback@constructionindustrypodcast.com, and you can visit our website at constructionindustrypodcast.com. Again, my name is Cesar Abade, and this podcast is brought to you by Remontech Remote Monitoring Technologies. Have a good one, everyone.